All right. Well, it is good to be here on a Wednesday night. It's great to see everybody here. We are going to continue our series in the parables tonight, and we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. So I hope you brought your Bibles with you. And turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, chapter 13. And we'll be studying the parable of the wheat and the tares. And I think I've got some slides that go along with this, if you can put it up. Yep, wheat or tares. And you can see they look a lot alike, don't they? They look a lot alike. And we're going to learn about that in the parable tonight. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to give some background and introduction here. As we've been going through the parables, Jesus has been teaching us, through the parables, spiritual truths. And in the book of Matthew specifically, John the Baptist, early in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, began preaching in the wilderness. And he began preaching concerning repentance and turning from dead works to the living God and trusting in God for salvation and making the way straight for the Messiah that was to come. And he used strong language. He even called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. And he cursed them and said, "Why did you come out here to turn from sin? You don't really want to turn from your sins." And he said, "You need to turn from your sins because the judgment is coming." And Jesus, we're going to see, picks up on this same theme, the same line of teaching in his parables. And as we walk through the book of Matthew, we can see the truth as Jesus lays it out. In the first chapters 3 through 9, we see how the religious leaders, they heard the preaching and the teaching of Jesus, but they rejected it. And then in chapter 10, we see how Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out and perform miracles in his name. And still, the religious leaders of the day rejected him. And then in chapter 11, he gives them a wonderful invitation. He says, "Look, turn from your religion. Turn from all of these things that you think you have to do to be saved. All the work that you're doing, toiling and laboring for your salvation." He says, "Turn from that and come to me." In Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But still they rejected him. And they went even one step further. In Matthew chapter 12, they commit what Jesus called the unpardonable sin. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And they say that the miracles that Jesus had done and all the great works that he had done, he did through the power of the devil. And so they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and he says they commit the unpardonable sin. And it's at that point in the book of Matthew where the language changes, the teaching changes. There's a shift in the book of Matthew in the way he teaches. Because before, up until this point, he taught clearly. But now, after chapter 12, we're going to see he begins teaching them in parables. He no longer teaches them directly and clearly. He teaches them in parables. So, who can remember from the weeks past what a parable is? Now, if you were listening closely when we just started, I gave you the answer, but I want to see who's paying attention tonight. Who remembers what a parable is? Just shout it out. Yeah, Ian. What was that? An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, see, I got some good stuff up here for the people that get the right answers. So that's the right answer. Good shot. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. Now, you might say, well, why would he teach them in parables? Well, look with me, if you will, at Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. And he says that his disciples asked him that. Why do you teach them in parables? And he answers this way, Matthew 13, 14 and 15. He says, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them.'" See, he knew their hearts. And so by teaching them in parables, he's pronouncing his judgment on them for their disbelief and their rejection of the truth. So you say, well, what are we to do? If he's teaching them in parables and they're not supposed to understand, what hope do we have? Can we understand the parables? Yes, we can. We can understand them because we, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's been deposited into us, and we can understand the Scriptures through His help in helping us understand them. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But we who trust the Lord Jesus and believe in Him, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we can understand the parable. So with that background and that introduction, let's dig in to Matthew chapter 13. Now this is one of a series of kingdom parables. Pastor David talked about one, the parable of the nets. He gave the first message, talked about the parable of the nets that was in this very chapter. And this one is right before that parable, and it's one of the kingdom parables, and it's set in a group of parables, three, that Pastor Vince preached one last week, of the mustard seed. So they deal with agriculture. And so he's teaching through the parables that deal with agriculture. Now, I'm not a farmer, so I need a little extra help with this. And so we're going to see the Bible explain it very clearly for us as we walk through it. So Matthew chapter 13. Now, the Apostle Matthew, he wrote this so that we would have an accurate recording of Jesus' teaching toward the judgment and the end times. The judgment and the end times. Look with me at verse 24. And we're just going to read through it together. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? All right, let's go. Verse 24, Matthew 13. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And so the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" Pray with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you tonight, Father. Lord Jesus, we pray you give us wisdom. That you give us understanding of your word. Lord, that we could apply it to our lives, Lord, and live it out. Lord, that we would see clearly what you have to teach us tonight, Lord. So God, I pray your Holy Spirit would fill this place tonight, and that you would teach our hearts and illuminate our hearts, Lord, to understand and do a great work in this place tonight, Lord. We lift it up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, today God is teaching us through His Word, and He wants us to turn away from dead works and turn to trusting in Jesus Christ and eternal life and salvation through Him. And let's walk through this parable. And I can tell you, after I read this, I was like, well, what does all this mean? And you may be thinking yourself, what's he talking about? A man who sows seed and tares. What's a tare? What does that mean? And a crop what does all this mean? And so I thought, I asked that to myself. What do these things mean? And through hours and hours of Bible study, and I'm not joking, I spent hours and hours putting this together and preparing it and praying. I wrestled with God and said, God, what does this mean? And you know what? He directed me to the best commentary I've ever read on this passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, it's written by an author who's never written any errors in his writings. You might guess who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Himself. He gave us the exact explanation of this parable, and you all have a copy of it if you brought your Bibles. It's in verse 36. So rather than hear my fancy hermeneutical and homiletical abilities, I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said, because I don't have those things anyway. So let's look at what Jesus has to say about this parable. Now, if you didn't understand what it meant, don't feel embarrassed about that, because the disciples themselves didn't understand what it meant. So his disciples asked him in verse 36, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And he answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So with that explanation in mind, what I want us to do is just walk through this parable together, and we'll have some interaction. And I want you to remember what we just read, because he's explained what the different things symbolize. And so let's walk through this parable together. First, what does he mean by the kingdom of heaven? What does that mean? He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. What is the kingdom of heaven? Now, the last couple of weeks, we defined what the kingdom of heaven is. So somebody tell me who remembers, what is the kingdom of heaven? What is that? What's that? The world. The world, that's a good answer. You want a candy bar? You don't want a candy bar? No? You take hers? All right, Pam. It's the king, the world, she says the world. It's where God rules and reigns. That's his kingdom, where God rules and reigns. Now, who is the man who sowed the good seed? We just read the explanation. Who does that refer to? Jesus. Who said Jesus? There you go, Robbie. Here's the man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, what's the field? The world. Who said, Gwen, I think you said that. I think I heard you first. Yeah, I'll give you two. Man. The world. The world is the field. But while men slept, his enemy, who's the enemy? Satan, the devil. You got a couple of these, man. I think you got it. Yeah, you got it. There you go. Satan is the enemy. Now, you know that word there for enemy means the hater, the one who hates. He hates. You ever think about that? Sometimes you think, well, my enemies, you know, they just don't like me much. This refers to he hates God, and he hates the children of God. He's a hater. He's a hated one. He's the enemy. He came and sowed tares. What's a tare? Does anybody know what a tare is? Anybody know that? This one's a little more complicated. Yeah, Stephanie. What was that? An evil one. Well, if you're talking about types of plants, you're right. It's an evil plant. It's a weed. And many biblical scholars believe this is something called Persian darnel. And I did a little bit of research on Persian darnel. It's a poisonous weed. And you can look at the picture. That's a picture of it. The wheat is on the left, and the tare or the darnel is on the right. And you can't tell the difference between these two plants until they fully are grown and produce fruit. Just looking with the naked eye, you can hardly tell the difference. So from a distance, you can't tell it at all. So that's what a tare is. Now, what do the tares represent? What do the tares represent, Robbie? The evil, the sons of the evil one. That's right. The sons of the evil one. Now, what does the wheat represent? The good people. The good people. You already answered. Should I give you another one? All right, I'll give you another one. Who else answered? Did you answer too? All right. So the wheat, they represent the sons of the righteous one and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares sprouted or appeared also. So what do you notice about that? The servants could not tell the difference between the weeds and the good plant until they bore fruit. And didn't Jesus say that they would know us by our fruit, or you can know them by their fruit? So you couldn't tell the difference between the weeds and the good plants until they bore fruit. They only noticed it when they bore fruit. So I want us first to see, like, one of the first points here is I want us to look at the work of God versus the work of Satan. You see, God's busy working. He's sowing the seeds. He's sowing the good seeds. And Satan's also busy working. He's sowing evil the seeds of the evil ones. And they're mixed together. And the field is the world. And don't we encounter this truth every day? Don't we see this? And the people we meet, maybe it's the people that we work with. There are believers and there are unbelievers mixed together in the world. And they're very intertwined. And sometimes you can't even tell the difference between them. There are some people in your workplace, some people that you know in your neighborhoods, they're very, very good people. And you'd even ask them, do you think you would go to heaven if you died? And one of the what will they tell you? Well, I'm a pretty good person, yeah. I'd say probably 98% of the people that I share the gospel with, when I ask them if they believe they would go to heaven, and I ask them why, they say, yeah, I think I would because I'm a pretty good person. That's their response. And on the outside, they look like pretty good people. As a matter of fact, they probably some of them look a lot better than us. As far as the things that they do, they work really hard to do good works for people because they're trying to earn their salvation. That's their motivation. If I can just be good enough, I'll be saved. And so they're mixed together in the world. Look at verse 27. It said, so the servants of the owner came to him and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? They didn't understand it. Where did this evil come from? Don't we ask the same question in our lives? Often we do. Where did this evil come from? What happened? Where did that evil person come from? What motivated them to do that horrible thing? Or why this cancer in my life? Why this financial problem in my life? And we ask the questions, why? Where did this sin come from? And so they wondered, didn't you sow good seed? In verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. And you understand, this was the way you would have wanted, if you wanted to catastrophically destroy your enemy, this is the way you would have done it. Because these tares, these little plants, they're known to destroy 70 to 85, sometimes 90% of a wheat crop. And so if you had an enemy and you wanted to take them out, make sure they had no food for the rest of the year, you would go and sow tares among their wheat. And they wouldn't even realize the tares were there until it was near harvest time, until they bore fruit. And by then it was too late. The tares are thick. They intertwine themselves within the wheat. And you can't remove them. If you pull up the tare, you pull the wheat up as well. And so you can destroy their whole crop by doing this. And that's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to destroy God's work. The devil is at work and he's trying to destroy the work of God in the world. So notice there, the work of God versus the work of Satan. But now notice God's patience. Notice God's patience. Verse 27 and 28. He said, an enemy has done this, verse 28. And the servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. Now notice a few things here. The man that sows the good seed is patient. The Lord Jesus, isn't he patient with us? He is patient with us. Do you know because of the sin that we've committed, we deserve death? Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. So those two verses tell us that everyone in this room, everyone that can hear my voice, has sinned. We've all sinned. And Romans 6:23 tells us that what we've earned for that sin, our wage for that sin, is death. We deserve to die. Eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from Him. But God is patient with us. He loves us. And He doesn't leave us without hope. He's given the world time to turn and repent and trust in Him. So He says, look, don't pull them out, because if you pull them out, you might root up the wheat along with the tares. How many of you in here garden? How many of you like to work in your garden? Yeah, I work in the garden too. I'm not really great at it. When I do, I usually mess my hands up or something like that, and I'm not really good at it. But I know this, when I pulled weeds in my garden, y'all ever done this? You pull a weed in your garden, and that sucker, you know, it's got big roots. And sometimes you got to get in there and you got to pull with both hands, and you're pulling and you see this big clump of dirt come up where the roots were from that weed. And if there were any flowers near that weed, they'll come up with it, won't they? And then by mistake, you've pulled up the flower along with the weed. You pulled up the good with the bad. And so the Lord Jesus says, no, we're going to give it time. But then also look here. He says, let them grow together until the harvest. I did some research on this. When it says grow together, that means side by side. That means that there will be people in the world that you work with, family members, friends, who are unbelievers, who are lost. And you'll intermingle with them. You'll work with them side by side. You may live with them. You a believer, they're lost. Or maybe you're lost and they're the believer. Side by side, let them grow together. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers. Now, who are the reapers? Who remembers who the reapers are? The angels. Boy, we got a lot of people jump on that. Let's see. The angels are the reapers. I don't know if I can make it way back there. I'll give it a try. Oh! All right. That's a good catch, man. Who else got that one? Anybody else get that one? The reapers are the angels. Stephanie's over here saying, I want another one. The reapers are the angels. And he says, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So there's a judgment. Don't miss this. This is the reality and the truth of the scripture. There is a coming judgment. Don't miss that. And you say, well, Ryan, now you're getting to the bad news, man. I don't know if I want to hear this bad news. This is bad news. But I can't sugarcoat it. I can't say something that is not. There is a judgment. And on that day of judgment, the Lord will give the command. And the wicked will be separated from the righteous. The tares represent who? The sons of the wicked one, right? And they'll be separated and bound up. And then they're thrown into the furnace. It's the fiery furnace. It's the lake of fire that the book of Revelation talks about. It's not a place prepared for you and for me. It's a place prepared for the devil and his demons. But that is the place of eternal punishment for all of those who reject the Lord Jesus. But then look what he says. Gather the wheat into my barn. And I want us to look at the explanation again of what he's talking about here. If you go back over to verse 41... He says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Don't misunderstand what that means. That's not somebody like gritting with perseverance and rejection, you know, trying to just be obstinate. That's not the kind of gnashing of teeth and wailing he's talking about. This is immense punishment. It's horrible. It's worse than anything you could ever imagine. And that's the place that's reserved for the wicked ones. But look at verse 43. There's good news. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And I want to just flip over to Revelation 21:4 and read what it says there. It says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now that's a great place to be. That's a great place to be. So I want to ask you tonight,